our hearts and souls to you tonight.
Dear brothers and sisters, yesterday's talk, it was on spirituality, what it is. It was explained that it is no spiritism, no spiritualism, no hypnotism, and no mesmerism. Moreover, it is no, what should I say, isms of any region, outer forms. So it was God is spirit, came to the conclusion that God is spirit, and we are spirit and man. As God is eternal, we are also eternal. So spirituality is only to know oneself by rising above body consciousness and by self-analysis and to know God. This is purely a subject of self-analysis. So you see the details are required in all cases of pursuits, inner or outer, who are adept in those subjects. Even when the child is born, his teachers are his parents, his brothers and sisters. When they go to school, they've got their teachers there. When they take up any outer subject, we need the guidance of somebody who is adept in that subject. Take the case of a cooking. The cookbook is there, which gives details of how vegetables are cooked. We need the practical guidance of some cook. In his guidance, we become also good cooks. Take the example of aeroplane. The books are written how the several parts of the aeroplane are, how to assemble them, and how to work on them. By reading only books, you won't be able to do it. But you know even not the what parts are meant for what purpose. There also you need somebody who knows the what is aeroplane is, what different parts are meant for what purpose. And then you are trained under his guidance till you have to rise up into the atmosphere. I have last time you were traveling about 35,000 feet high. So can you give that plane in the hand of somebody, new one? Or can you do it? Know yourself how the aeroplane works, how to rise, go up, how to descend. So this is something practical. Similarly, the spirituality is a practical subject. We have got scriptures with us. What do they contain? They contain the statements of those who rose above body consciousness, traversed into the beyond. They had different experiences of different kinds. They give and contain all experiences they had of all masters whenever they came. And this is by reading scriptures only, can you know how to rise above body consciousness? That is only a physical thing. Here we have got macrocosm and the microcosm. We have got physical body, how we can rise above physical body, how we can traverse into the astral plane and further to the causal plane, how to transcend all planes. Do you think only by reading scriptures you will become an adept in that? That is rising into heavens outside, and that is rising into the beyond. So you find, if we need somebody, when we need teachers in all outer subjects, Do we not need anyone's guidance, which is a subject when you rise above body consciousness? First of all, did you hear how to rise above body consciousness? Yogis have spent hundreds of years to rise above body consciousness. Is there some adept like that who can give you a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness? And even not, that is not only. If you know that much also, is that sufficient? Maulana Rumi says, is the more dangerous inside rather than outside. Take somebody who has been to that place. He gives that if you want to pay a visit to the place of pilgrimage, it is always better to take some guide with you who may have been to that place of pilgrimage. Who that may be, he says he may be a Hindu, he may be Arab, anybody. So in the spiritual way, we do need somebody which should be able to give us a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness, I'll say. Then how to traverse in which way to follow. Here in outer world, you see, if you lose one road, you have to go round and round and cannot come to the right place. So my purpose is, all scriptures say there is need of somebody. These all scriptures which are with us, what do they contain? Only go on reading, can by reading alone you can have that experience what is given in the scriptures. So without a true guide, call him by any name you like now. And without, did you see the driver is there and motor is, I mean the, what, the patrol is not there then? So both ways require. What is way back to actually God? God, when he wanted to be managed, there was vibration. The vibration resulted in two things, light and sound. So if you have a ray of the sun, if you catch it and ride on it, that will take you where? To the place from where it emanated, to the absolute God. So proper guidance also required, of course. But there's something to ride on which can take you to that ultimate goal. So Master tells us, unless you have some guidance of the adept who traverses into the beyond, his body is working in the world, but his soul is in tune with that power working through him. He appears to be engaged in all outer pursuits, but wherever he wants, he rises above body, conscious, and traverses into the beyond at his own will and pleasure. This is what is called by the masters to be reborn. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. So first step is how to rise above body consciousness. We have identified with the body. So there are methods and methods which involve pranas and outward faculties and sometimes intellect by drug influences. But under your water, practical demonstration by somebody who is adept that way, then you know how to rise above body consciousness. So we do need, Guru Nanak said, you may be reading for years and years, months and days, all through life, unless you know how to rise above body consciousness and open the inner eye to see the light of God. What is use of the one? Tulsi says, you may have to read the four Vedas, 18 Puranas, 9 Vyakarans, and 6 Shastras. You may be reading day and night and annotating on that, giving very wonderful lectures on that. Would you know who you are? Your attention. Your drop of your drop of all attention was gone. And unless you know yourself, die yourself from the body and outward environments, and you are brought in contact with the God into expression power, which is God Shabd Nama, our world, which has two aspects, light and sound. So it is just reading all these books, just parrot-like, go on repeating. Of course, this has some value. These are good actions meant for God. But seeing is something else, reading is something. Reading only can create a new interest. We should go and see. So mere reading alone won't help you. So this is the way to fool those who are innocent. You may be intellectual very much, in all degrees of the world. I submit to you, when I was at Lahore, under me one Christian superintendent working under me, he was a librarian of the Lahore church, whose bishop was considered to be the highest in all, I mean, most advanced in all India. I asked the superintendent, go and ask him what this bell ringing stands for. And what did he reply? It is only to call men together. Well, in churches you go like that, but in temples you go, the man who had to hear rings the bell. So learned man is not supposed to know everything. This is something of the beyond. Outer learning can help us to a certain extent to understand certain things. To a certain extent, not all. So it is exciting. When the world's last is there, the religion starts. Religion means leave is back, lead you to back. How to first withdraw ourselves from the body outside and environments and know ourselves, and then come in contact with the God into expression power. So this is what is called spirituality or religion, what you say. Social bodies are different from that. So we have find, you see, in Matthew, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. What does that mean? Apparently, O Lord, I am thankful, very grateful to you that you have kept this great wisdom away from the worldly wise and intellectual people and revealed the secret only to those who are innocent as it is given. That is why Christ said, suffer little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom. So we have to innocent, become innocent first. With love for all, with enmity to nobody. So for that, all masters said, without a guide, true guide, within you cannot have any access whatsoever. Guru Nanak said, which has been made it, was a mandate from God, unless you meet someone who is the master, you see, who is world made flesh, you cannot reach him and you cannot be have salvation. Then well, all of y'all be good, then don't be in this delusion that you'll go of your own self. So Master, they come with it and saying, all right, who want going back to home, let them come up. Who speaks that the God is in him? So all the scriptures, whether the East or the West, when you go into it, they all say, we need somebody to teach us. The very step of how to withdraw from outside, yogis have taken hundreds of years to rise above physical body. And if somebody, with God's grace, comes up, anywhere, demonstration of how to rise above body in little or no time, then what more you want. So it is said it is a great blessing to have a living master. That is why you see, come unto me all that ye labor, Christ said. When they come, they say, come unto me. Because they have they speak on the strength of God in them. They don't speak of themselves. They speak as inspired by God. They are quite conscious co-worker of the divine plan. And see, when our heavenly laden, and I will give thee rest. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when all masters who come, they are word made flesh, they give out the same thing to the people who meet them in their lifetime. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And he that seeth me, him that sent me. So I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. As I quoted you before from the East, so many all shapes in common peace. Guru word means who can remove darkness from before your eyes and light is manifest. When God wanted to have your work creation, then there was light. But that light is in each one of us. That's why I have stated that the light within you is not darkness. Master comes saying, Christ said, I have come to make those people see who do not see. And those who see, they may be blind. So it is a feat of our attention, training of the attention. You are attention. It is you who unknew the world. It is you when your attention outside the world is before you. When you will drop, there is no one. So great is man. So masters have been coming from time to time. And you now say, those who have had the man body have not met the two masters. Even if he has met the two masters and he is not living up to his commandments, and what it is, then he says, they are never born. They have not derived the full benefit from the man body. Buddha Chavali went to his master. He says, I have wasted all my life in doing outward things and not God. To God, when I only had it when I met my master. So before meeting a master, all our life is as if it were lost. So for that reason, you see, it is necessary we need somebody who is expert on the way. So now we want to see what is the master. Master is, you see, Guru Nanak was asked, who is your master? He said, Shabad is my guru, master. And my soot, my attention is his disciple. What the word Shabd means? God is a Shabd. When it came into expression, it is called Shabd. And Shabdi is the God into expression power, which is the maker of whole universe, controller of the universe, of all universe, and permeating all universe. So God is wordless. When it came into being, it is called word. In the beginning was the word. Word was with God, and word was God. And all creation came into being after the word. And what is master? Word made flesh. God is nameless. When it came into expression, it is called Nam. And Nam is the creator of all universe that resides in all. He resides in the very man body. We can see when we rise up to that level. He is the subtlest of the subtlest. If we rise up to that level, in our eyes will open, we will see him. Kabir was asked, who is your master guru? And where are you became my guru above the eye level? And I am in the body. The guru brought my attention, my thought into contact with God to expression. Now I am always with him and he is in me. Exactly the same words given in other languages to show what they feel. So Bible says, word made flesh and dwelt amongst us. I am quoting you parallel things only to bring home that the basic teachings of all masters have been the same, whether the east or the west. In the sixth scriptures he said that word just manifests in the human body in his God Guru. He says that way, he says that. Tenth Guru was asked, who is your Guru? He said, who was in the beginning, who is now, and who live forever, even beyond, he is my Guru. So in which he manifests, he resides in every heart, but somewhere he manifests. The manifest of God in man is the Guru. We respect the body in which that is manifested, because on account of his guidance, as he gave you some examples of the aeroplane and other things, he tells us how to rise above body consciousness, how you are there to enliven your outer faculties with which you work. And you know yourself by self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, how to rise above, and you get the demonstration of it. You see that power controlling in the universe. So who is a guru? Who is word made flesh? The word is in him and he in the word. And who is following that path and teaches other paths the same, sit at his feet. So Master never says we are the guru, we are friends. He simply says we are the messengers of God. Kabir said, I have come from the beyond, from the feet of the Master, of the God, and I have brought a message for you. He wants his children, his child to come back home. These were his words. Christ said, I came from the Father into the world. And again I leave the world and go to my Father. Are they not parallel? Shamash Tabrez said, in this man body the Son of God is manifest. So Bhole Shah says, he took the form of a man and came here just to awaken the world. Children, you have been separated from God eons back. You have not yet been back to your true home. Come back. He sent us into the world. Someday we were in his lap. Ever since we have separated, we have been under the command of mind. And mind is under command of outward faculties, and outward faculties have driven us like anything to the outer enjoyments. We are identified with it so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. When God sees the plight of our plight like that, we are very unhappy. So he takes his manifest in the form of a body, man body, and comes to open the door. Come on, go back home. So Kabir says, with the outer eyes, Ram, God and Kabir appear to two bodies. Only to those who have got no word made flesh to guide. Who can take you to God? There are no brother, no sister, no parents. If he wants somebody guides back to God, it means he is in there. So for that reason, you see, Master always comes to guide us. This is, now remains what is function as you say. Somebody asked you yesterday, what is the function of a master? Namdev said, that God has manifested in the body, well, that very body is God. Pai Nandlal, a great devotee of the 10th Guru, he annotates on a poem of Hafiz. Hafiz says, if you want to meet God, leave all house and home and the world and go to a wilderness. And Nandlal says, well, look here, here is God standing before you. Very funny to his Guru. Why to go to the world if he's not here? He's here in everybody. Where he's manifested, go to his feet. So God is great, you see. Maharadun says, he says, I'm so great that all my creation, all my universes that I've created, they are not sufficient to contain me. I alone. He says, but stage now, I manifest the heart of a master. You want me, come out there. These are all things which go to show great is man. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father is within me. The Father is within me and I am within the Father. Quite so. How clear words he is. So my purpose is to lay before you that who is the master? What is their function? They come to make people see who do not see, and those who see to make them blind. When our attention is withdrawn from outside, all is dark. It is our attention that sees all these things. When you put your whole attention within you, which is dark, that light source. So Guru is the Shabda, is the word made flesh and is a link between man and God and gives link of Shabda, light within you. Who can do that, he is Godable, he is God a master. If people do not understand what the scriptures say about a master, just as without a pilot you cannot fly the aeroplane there, 35,000 feet high. Without a guru, you cannot fly beyond the physical body. It gives a demonstration of that. So, what is the function of a master? Just to make you rise above body consciousness, give you contact with the light and sound principle of God. Nada, the voice of God, the music of the sphere. Where it will lead you, light and light will see where you are. And sound principle will be guiding you where to go. So Guru Nanak says, those who have got a perfect master, they are given the contour with the sound principle, which is the guiding principle, where to go. You have a sound, you have some sound, and you naturally be drawn to the place from where that sound is coming. So this is direct way back to God. In this yoga, this is the natural yoga of the sound current. In this, no hypothesis required to be made. Direct way back to God. Because it gives you contact with the light and sound principle which emanates from the absolute God, wordless state. In all of the yoga, you have to have some hypothesis to make or draw inferences. So as such, like persons, you know, call them by the name persons. One made flesh is born the same way as we are born. He's got the only two eyes that we have got outside. Two limbs, he walks like us. But he is the bread of life that comes down from heaven, as Christ said. Akhand pojan til pojan chura. They also said, it is bread of life that has come down from heaven, whosoever partaketh of it shall have everlasting life. They give you the bread of life, the water of life, which is light and sound principle of the God into expression power. You have physical food to make your body strong. You go worldly learning, etc., to give strength to the intellect, what food you give to your soul, which is conscious entity. So Master comes here to give that water of life, that bread of life. But when you get it, when you rise above body consciousness, until you rise above body consciousness, you remain a stranger to the beyond. If Master gives you experience and demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness, then you have no fear of death. Because all glory and beauty lies within you. When you witness once that aspect of higher life, you are so much attached to it that you won't like to stay outside. So it is always advised in the scriptures what? To do the practices as given by your master. Those who are doing practices without a master, only doing at the level of senses, and then with the outgoing faculties or with the intellect, they don't give you any access into the beyond. They are good actions, of course, because you are doer, as you sow, so shall you reap. But they cannot give you a glimpse of the beyond. So they, what you do, you follow the, sit at the feet of Master to give you how to rise above body consciousness, then you have got seen that thing, you see, and you know how to go.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning, our reader is Rudy Cascone. Are you there, Rudy?
Yes, I am, John.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you very much. Today's reading will be from Master's book, Kirpal Singh, His Grace Lives On, The Last Darshan Talks. I'm just going to read some quotes from Master from the introduction. We have something that will never leave us till the end of the world. That is God, Kirpal Singh. And these days of leaving us are drawing near. You must jot down your questions before it is too late. From now on, carry on best with God overhead. And these are the selections by God. They send a few certain people to administer certain things. They know when to come and when they are going back. They won't let you down, mind that. Okay, and now we're going to read the Master's address to the Parliament in India on August 1st, 1974. My dear Dhillon Sahib and all other brothers here, ever since I was born, I have noticed that all men are alike, the same two eyes, the same two nostrils, two ears, mouth, etc., the only difference being the wearing of different clothing. As I studied all religions, I found the same things, no new facts that have been revealed. But we have forgotten. I have been on three world tours, and wherever I went, I have been telling them that unity already exists, but we have forgotten. All men are born the same way, with the same construction outside and inside. Every morning the municipality disposes of the body waste from all, so all are alike. A parallel study of religion has revealed that man is considered to be the highest in all creation. All scriptures speak very highly about the human body. I need not go into detail, but different scriptures say that man is next to God in a place where Brahm can be realized. So man is the highest in all creation. All creation is formed to serve thee, O man, to serve you and all mankind alike. So as man we are the crown of all creation. All masters who came in the East spoke of man as the golden opportunity in which we can solve the mystery of life, to know ourselves and know God. That very power that is the creator permeating and controlling all creation. This is why man is taken to be the highest in all creation. Just look to the machinery of the human body. It contains physical body, intellect, and the spiritual side, divine in nature. And as man, we are already one with the same privileges from God. For example, with the same intellectual capacities. As conscious entities, we are drops of the ocean of all consciousness. We are all brothers and sisters in God. All rishis and masters who came in the past gave out their teachings in the same way. They always addressed themselves to all mankind alike. They said, "O man," and they spoke to the world at large, not to the man-made labels we are carrying. Guru Nanak said all men are reading in the same class to realize the mystery of life. So as man, we are one. As soul, we are all one. And that power we worship in one form or another is the same referred to by so many different names. Unity already exists. We have forgotten. All masters who came gave the same teachings directly to everybody. No high, no low. They told us that we receive the man body, which is the highest in all creation. It is the golden opportunity we have now in which we can realize God. We have developed physically. We know how this man body works, how it is impaired, how it can be returned to proper working order. So many medical systems are used. We have also advanced intellectually very wonderfully. We can't go around the world in hours. The world has become small. All the countries have become so many rooms in the house of our Father. How can we reach the moon? Now, we can now reach the moon, and there are others who are trying to do so. With all these advancements, are we happy? All are afraid of the atom bomb. The war could start at any moment, and this world would come to an end. What is the remedy for all this? Masters show us the right understanding. They told all men, "O man, you are the highest in all creation. You must develop your third side, your own self. Just pay more attention to your own self, which is the most important part of your life. Then the whole difficulty will be solved." Who are we? We are conscious entities. We are the driving force of the man body. Intellect, mind, and outgoing faculties are directed by us. This is a machinery run by us, and it is also controlled by some higher power. So long as we are working in this physical body, where God resides is all the manifestation of God, but he resides not in temples made of with stones. Once when I gave a talk in England and uttered these words, one bishop stood up and said, "You have thrown an atom bomb on all our churchianity." If that is so, masters, whenever they came, told us, all men are alike. We are all children of God, and we worship the same God overhead, called by different names. When masters passed away, these formations came into being. The word religion means re-back, ligio, to bind. To bind back ourself with the over-self. Social bodies came into being and are made with the noble purpose of allowing many people to derive benefit from the man body. The main purpose of all religions is the same. Differences are all due to climatic conditions or other customs prevailing in each one. As long as there were practical men living, others derived full benefit. For want of practical people, the same good old custom became corrupted. Kabir and Guru Nanak came at a time when the two formations of Hindu and Muslims were very powerful. In order to unify them, Guru Nanak said, "I am neither Hindu nor Mohammedan. The God we worship is the same power." So people asked him, "Well, you are carrying the label of a Hindu. How can you say that you are not a Hindu?" And he said, "Of course I am carrying the label of a Hindu, whose religion was formed after those masters who came in the past to keep their teachings alive. But really, who am I? My body is made up of five elements, and I am a conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness." At that time in India, there were only two religions, two outer bodies. Now there are more than 700. So masters do not touch the outer labels when they come. The outer labels carry with them their own customs, their ways of living, and climatic influences. A first step is all right, but that is only the preparation of the ground. The higher purpose is to know the self and to know God. All masters who came in the East or West told us, "O man, know thyself." Greek philosophers said, "O man, you must solve the mystery of life. For that you will have to know yourself." Gnothe Sutton. Latin philosophers said the same thing in their Latin language. Nosce Tipsum. And Persian philosophers also said the same thing in their own language, of course. We have developed physically and intellectually, but if we have not developed our own selves, we are foolish. Now, these are the words such philosophers used. Guru Nanak said, "Unless you analyze yourself from the body and the outgoing faculties, you cannot solve the mystery of life." So masters came to teach us how to analyze our own self by rising above body consciousness. Knowing oneself at the level of feelings and emotions or drawing inferences is subject to error. But when you come to a master, a practical man who rises above body consciousness daily, he also gives you a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness. The true nasyam, or knowledge, will come up only when you sit by a practical man who will give you a demonstration of that. Then you will see for your own self that you are not the body, but the driving force of the body. You will see that this body works so long as we are in it. But how wonderful is this human body? It has so many apertures, two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, etc. But we cannot run away out of it. Some power is controlling us in this human body, the same power which is controlling all the universe. When God came into expression, that was called Nam, or word, or kalma. And that is the Creator permeating all creation and controlling all creation. That very power controls us so long as we remain in the body. When that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. That is the inner way masters have been revealing ever since rishis and all others came on the scene. I have given quotations from the original scriptures, a parallel study of which I have given in the book Nam, or Word. I have written a parallel study of all yogas, the crown of life, and so many books on the subject of spirituality, which carry no touch of ism, but rather the real truth which was given out by all masters who came in the past. Now the need is that we should all know we are already one, but we have forgotten. This is the one thing which, if we knew, would naturally cause us to have reverence for all on earth, those around us and those below us. Many difficulties will be solved. When attending the last Kumbha at Hardwar, to which my friend has already referred, I told the sadhus, when they were all collected there together, and it was very difficult to bring them to sit together, that we are all one as man, no high, no low. I told them that in the old days, festivals were held every 12 years to consider the Brahma, the way of living, and also to help solve any difficulties in the country. I told them that this is your job also, because the world is aflame, and such is the same fate you have in India. Our house is on fire. With all our difficulties, however, our blessed Prime Minister and others carrying on the good management of this country and doing their best. But I told the sadhus that here in India, as man, we have failed. As government, we are trying our best. But still, O God, it is in your hands. Guru Nanak once prayed, O God, the world is aflame. Save it on any plea. So I told them, saints are considered to be nearest to God. Now I have brought this message to your notice. My work is done. They unanimously formed a committee to help. They also praise the way we are living and carrying on the government here. So it is very kind of you people to invite me here. I am glad and thankful to you for the first step. In the government, these spiritual things are generally not interpreted. This has been the theme of which Mahatma Gandhi also spoke, that religion should be brought into the government for the sake of practical management. This is an awakening which has been appreciated all around the world. Here also men are ready, and these ideas too are spreading like wildfire. This is the need of the times. If this is done, all our troubles will be solved. We have so many troubles. There is an increase in the cost of living. Now, what is the remedy for this? Once I was a president of the farmers movement, and they put before me facts and figures, such as the farmer receiving rupees 160 per kilo for what he grows. The same thing being sold in the market for rupees 7 per kilo. Food passes through different hands and prices have risen. The government is doing its best to set this right. But in the meantime, to avoid the pinching effects of the expense of the food, we should minimize our other requirements. This is one thing which will save us from the pinching effects of rising prices. The prices should be controlled. When we consider that all are one and we are from the same country, then we must be true to our own country. We were born in this country. Our bodies are framed from the soil of India, and we should do our best to make this country ideal for all. During my last world tour, I was asked on television, how could peace be cemented in the world? I replied that peace can only be brought about when the people rise above isms, the labels we are carrying, the king and kings rise above countries. So my submission is, we are all from this country. We have attained this freedom not too many years back. We should all join heads together, which the government is already doing, to make it a very blooming garden and let others unite. So there are two things before us. We have given precedence to our labels, but we are man first. We say we are Hindus or Mohammedans first, then Indian, etc. I would say that we are men first, and then labels we are carrying. Then comes the duty towards the country. We should be patriots. It is our duty. And we should all lay our heads together to help society realize the unity of all mankind. This can only be achieved when we have right understanding all around. So with due deference to all, I thank you, members of Parliament, especially our dear friend Dhillon Sahib, who has made arrangements for me to come to you and put my heart before you. My real sympathy is for the advancement of this country, and I request each one of you, as I requested the religious heads at the Kumbh Mela, to lay your heads together. Thank you. And that's the end of Master's parliamentary talk. And now we will start the Darshan talks that Master has given. First one is, make the best use of your time in evening Darshan at Sawan Ashram, Delhi, August 1st, 1974. Master was very jolly and happy the eve of his parliament talk. Master, some of the members of parliament invited me to speak there. It was the first time, at least in India's history, that they invited someone other than a political man, a disciple. It is the first time the members of parliament have invited a non-political Indian teacher. Sometimes dignitaries from the outside are invited, but mostly Indian political leaders. Out of a total of 489 members of the lower house, about 100 attended, including the presiding officer. The presiding officer spoke glowingly about the work being done by Master and the devotion they have for him. Master. The Speaker of the House was there, Mr. Dillon. He came down to see me after the meeting. They are going to appreciate now. Disciple. Two disciples have arrived today. Master. So, those who have come today, you are here only for meditation. Try to spend more time in meditation. Make the best use of your time here so that you may improve your meditations. If you have any questions, put them in writing and bring them all together so they will be satisfied and your meditations are not disturbed on account of it. Master addresses another disciple. Any more coming in July? July is over now. Response, no, Master. Thank you, Master, for the 3 months I have been here, disciple. Master, I think you should be thanked. You have taken time away from your business to come here. Now, what are you going to do? Well, disciple, I'm going to Germany and then Italy. Master, I hope you have improved in your meditations while you are here. Disciple, yes, Master. Master, give thanks that you are alive and that you have been able to enjoy coming here. Two disciples he names sends regards from a disciple in Washington. Master, and love? They send love? Is that right? That's all right. Disciple, when one's wife is not on the path, should a satsangi modify his eating habits in order to keep peace in the family? My wife, for instance, eats things made with eggs. Not my eating eggs creates fights with my wife, who thinks it's a bunch of hooey. Master, she is not initiated, disciple, but I am. Master, then what do you want? God has united you. Remain united. Adjust between yourselves. Anyway, both of you are remembering God in one way or another. One goes to the Roman Catholic Church, the other the Protestant Church. Disciple, well, I would say no. My wife is more of an agnostic. Master, even so, she is in the man body. But even an atheist is a man. He has a man body. If the poor fellow does not know that there is God, we do know. We should love him. That is due to her ignorance. Once, do you remember, one atheist went to the Muri Hills where my master was serving. This man, who was a tuberculosis patient, came there because the doctor advised him to spend some time in the hills. He went to all the bungalows, but no one permitted him to stay in their bungalow because he was an atheist. He also happened to go to the bungalow where our master resided. Those who were already there refused him entrance because he was an atheist. He was leaving the bungalow when my master, returning from duty, saw him and inquired, "Who is that man leaving?" He says he wanted to stay here for some months. Did you not permit him? asked Master. No, they replied. Why? Asked the Master. All others in the Muri Hills had not permitted him, they said, because he is an atheist. And Master said, look here. If the poor fellow does not know that there is God, at least we do know. So Master gave him a place to stay. This present conference, which was held at the level of man, included atheists too. They are in the man body. Disciple, then you shouldn't modify what you're doing. Master, what are you doing? Should I modify my diet to keep peace in the family? Master, you must not. If you have fever and the doctor says, do not take solid food, you must take what he says. Adjust between yourself. If you love her, you sacrifice yourself. You should not hate her for only food's sake. There are sweet ways. Love modifies everything. It even makes atheist men God-men. Disciple, but you shouldn't eat meat? No, Master says. Both should go their own way diet-wise, but whom God has united, let no earthly power disunite. In my life, in about 1930, one atheist lived, invited all heads of religion to prove that their religion was necessary. A very interesting statement. I also went over there just to hear him. I was sitting in the first row. Each had to prove the outer form and rituals of the label they were carrying. That man stood up. Dear friend, he said, take the case of marriage. Both have agreed to live together as companions and in the presence of God through the hands of a pious man, maybe pundit or any other. And in the presence of so many people, they promised from this day onward their connection would be love. What difference does it make whether it is done this way or that way, the purpose being that they should be faithful to one another? He similarly denounced all other outer forms and rituals. I stood up and said, well, dear friend, you have just denounced all these things. May I ask you a question? Supposing you succeed in turning 50,000 men to your new way of living, then what will you have to do? You'll have to make a society, and then you'll have to make some rules by which to abide. After some time, you'll see that those rules are not correct, have not proved useful. Then you will have to change them. Would it not be better if, instead of wasting your time this way, to remain where you are in a religion which has stood the test of time and try at the same time to be in search of your own self? He said, you are right. That atheist is living and attending my satsangs now. If you love everybody, everybody loves you. Even the serpents love you. What to speak of other animals? Love is the very panacea for every ill. Love makes kings leave their thrones and love as average men. In the United Kingdom, you will find an example of this. In every society, you will find where there is no love, there is strife, contempt, fighting, trouble going on day and night. Put a little love, an ounce of love, and everything will be all right. Disciple, when fighting is a daily affair in the preparation of food, Master's reply is that love, everything could be modified. You can persuade her by love, and the Master is sure that the results will be achieved. Not that you compromise with your principles by taking eggs, etc., but with loving persuasion, you'll be able to win her. Master, love beautifies everything. Disciple, I was going to say you don't know my wife, but maybe you do. Well, I don't know her, Master says, but I know the nature of mine. She is a woman. You are a man. You know what is the natural tendency between man and woman. That I have seen. You know the story of Moses and the shepherd? He went to the wilderness and found the shepherd praying to God very vehemently out of devotion. O God, had you been hungry, I would have given you milk of the sheep. If you had been naked, I would have given you cloth made of this wool. And he bent down, shedding tears. Moses cried, Heretic! Why? Why are you talking in this way to God? Have I done something wrong? The shepherd asked. Yes, surely, Moses replied. The shepherd began to cry, and while crying, he withdrew from all outside and within God's consolation. I will drink your milk, etc. So when Moses returned to his place, while in meditation, God said, Moses, I have sent you to unite people who have been disunited from me, not to disunite those who are already united with me. Go on, ask for an apology. Some people, like the shepherd, are more sincere. It is love, you see. Well, I'm going to stop right here and continue the next time from this very point, the next time I read. Thank you very much. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Rudy, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today there were 66 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.